The Art and Architecture Series kicks off its initial offering with a presentation from Seventh Art Productions entitled Klimt and the Kiss. This documentary film centers around the most famous work of Viennese painter Gustav Klimt, who painted The Kiss in 1908 and was part of the Art Nouveau movement that swept Vienna at the turn of the 20th century. I called upon painter and distinguished professor emeritus Alberto Rey to give us a deeper insight into Klimt and the Art Nouveau movement. Once again, I am joined by distinguished professor of art emeritus, Mr. Alberto Rey. He is here to talk about the upcoming art and architecture film, Klimt and the Kiss, which is coming to the 1891 Fredonia Opera House on Saturday, November 4th at 1 p.m. Alberto, welcome as always.
Thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure. I'm looking forward to talking about Gustav a little bit.
Yeah. So why don't we just dive right into it then?
Sure.
Gustav Klimt, Art Nouveau, Vienna Secession. These are all the terms I think the people who come to this film are going to hear as they watch and listen to the film. So let's get a little background on all of that kind of history. Who was Gustav Klimt? What is the Art Nouveau movement and the specificity of the Vienna Secession?
So I think, as with all artists we've talked about in the past, I think it's everything that happens in an artist's career is reflective of many factors. I think for him, he was one of seven children. His mother was a musician who could never continue with her career because she was taking care of those seven kids. His father was a gold engraver, and he actually taught Gustav and his brother so that they were able to get a scholarship to the School of Art when they were 14. And the school was a seven-year program. So if you look at his drawings when he was young, his work was just unbelievable. It was just almost photographic in detail and sophistication and just incredible. And so him and his brother, they started this company. It was called the Art Group, and they decided to do murals. There was a lot of affluence happening in Vienna. There was a lot of building. A lot of large buildings were made, government and private homes, and everybody wanted some kind of mural. So they started this company. And by the time he was 26, that group got this major award from the government. It was a Golden Medal of Merit because of the quality of their work. And it was fairly traditional, fairly realistic, fairly academic. And then society in Vienna started to change. Things became a little bit more rebellious. You had Sigmund Freud, you had Mahler, you had Wagner with his changing the standards of architecture. Social norms were questioned, and so he became part of this Vienna secession movement that questioned traditional approaches to painting and the arts, and the movement tried to encourage this type of experimental approach to art, and it included a lot of different factors. Japanese prints were very popular. Art Nouveau became kind of an interesting development in architecture and design, and was incorporated into painting, so that the paintings, instead of being this kind of traditional three-dimensional images, started to become flat. So you had these realistic figurative works, but the backgrounds and the clothing that the people were wearing, instead of being three-dimensional folds, became flat patterns and became very decorative, again kind of reflecting what was happening with Art Nouveau. And it was very, very different than anything that had happened before. And it became really frowned upon by academics and traditionalists, but it became a very exciting period. This is also right after the Impressionists. So a lot of what was happening with Impressionists started to be incorporated into this movement as well. And so there's kind of a building, kind of like a perfect storm of a lot of these movements. And in the United States, it was gay 90s, 1890s. So it was happening around Western civilization. And it was a pretty important way of looking at the world.
Well, one of the things that I noticed in looking particularly at Klimt's work, but trying to get a handle myself on the Art Nouveau movement, was when I look at the difference between the painting styles, let's say, of the, you know, the mid-19th century, 1850s and 60s, and then all of a sudden you see these works that are colorful, that are segmented into different places. Like within the image, you've got three or four different segments of places to look at. The human models are not realistic at all. The lines are much more, they seem much more naturalistic. And there's all kinds of influences now coming up. I mean, I do see influences in the Impressions. I see a little bit of Van Gogh in some of Klimt's work. I see Japanese that you were mentioning about. The shift seems to be rather radical. I mean, it's sharp.
Yeah. And I think he was even pushing it even further. I think in time, he didn't think that movement was even severe enough. He started another movement, kind of like a subsection of it. It was actually called Klimt Movement, or the Klimt Group, which was even more experimental. This is also the time that his father and his brother passed away, and so his work became much more personal, much more experimental. That mural group went away, and his work started to really become very different. A lot of nudes, a lot of floating figures, kind of floating through time. There's another movement called Symbolism Movement that used a lot of figurative work, but not in a traditional sense. They were kind of floating in these compositions, and that was not popular. You're talking about a time in history where people were wearing, this is a typical bathing suit. You had a collar, long sleeve shirt, or for women, long sleeve shirts, pants, and then a dress over the pants. This is as risque as you could get on a beach. And here you have these monumental paintings, nude paintings of female figures and male figures floating, kind of interacting with each other. And then you have these abstract, imagine coming up with abstract shapes and compositions in the 1890s. That's just amazing. And the paintings that he was doing, you could exhibit them right now and they would be revered. It was just that far ahead of its time. It's amazing.
He gained a reputation, as you say, for his paintings that really depicted intimacy, love, sexuality, stuff like that. And this particular painting that the film is going to focus on, The Kiss, is one of his most famous in regards to that. A lot of his work revolves around that. Can you talk a little bit about the Kiss as a particular painting in and of itself, and how it expresses that part of Klimt's artistry?
Yeah, one of the things is that The Kiss has been that image, that idea has been produced for generations before. And this was his iteration of that composition, of that subject matter. And he was doing a lot of work that revolved around themes in life, from life to relationships, to love, to sex, to death. And that's what his work was about. One of the things that's interesting about this painting is that he was influenced not only by his father, who was a goldsmith, more or less, very knowledgeable about gold, but he was influenced by Byzantine gold mosaics that he visited. And you can see that in the images of the composition of the clothing. There's also 8 different types of gold used in the painting. So they were gold leaf, but all like 8 different variations of that, and also platinum. And platinum was even more expensive than gold. So you're talking about using gold, which, you know, to this day, you'll be able to see how it looked then. It doesn't change much over time, and platinum even less so. And then you had these very textured patterns for the male. You have these square kind of geometric forms, and for the women, the woman in the piece, it's this kind of circular, kind of much more organic. I think at the time it was also risque because people thought that the figures were nude underneath. There was no indication of any clothing, so there was a kind of the perception that he was two figures that were nude underneath this clothing. And then that how the figures were portrayed, the man was looking away, the woman is looking towards the viewer. She's kind of has a pale kind of facial features, which is reflective of Japanese artwork and prints. And then the background is this, it's layers of gold with oil stain and then flecks of gold on top of that. So it's a very layered surface. But if you look at the faces, if you look at the figures, they're very flat. They're almost all washes. There's very little texture. It's very loosely done. The line is, again, reflective of the Japanese prints. But the clothing that they're wearing, that's the most textured elements of the painting. And it's very different than anything done before. That flatness, that pattern, and then the figures that are three-dimensional is unlike anything that had been done before that. And one of the things that I find fascinating is just the hands. If you look at the hands, how sensitive the hands of the woman is, and how, you know, they're just kind of curved. They're kind of thin. They're kind of almost a little frail. They're bent. And then the males are straight. They're just like almost a little rough. They're not sensitive as compared to the woman. The male is dark, almost lost in the background, but the lightness of the features of the woman and the sensitivity in her hands is quite striking. And then even if you look at the feet, how the toes are curled up, like that's, you know, like she's being kind of emotionally drawn to the figure, is all very subtle, but just beautifully done.
So I understand that after Klimt died during World War II, there was this interesting story about how some of his paintings got destroyed, kind of a little bit sad, a loss to art history. What did you hear about that?
Well, it was, you know, it's really fascinating and sad in that, you know, I was doing some research for this, and the most beautiful paintings I think he ever did was for the University of Vienna, and also the most controversial. It was just phenomenal work, amazing. And the only images left are black and white images that were taken of it. And the reason there's only black and white images was because the Nazis during the war were collecting all this work, or stealing work from galleries and collectors, and putting them in this castle. And the last day of the war, after they had surrendered, the very last day that evening, they set that castle on fire, and it burned for days, and everything in it, all the artwork was destroyed, including 15 of Klimt's most, I think, some of his best work is lost forever.
That's a shame. It's a sad story to hear in terms of art history, but that's the nature of war.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Well, Alberto, thank you so much for all the insights. I think that really gives the listeners going to have a good insight into what they're going to see when they come to take a look at this particular film, Klimt and the Kiss. That's tremendous information. Thank you. What's new with you? What do you got going on?
I still have that paint, that exhibition up at Castellani Museum. That's going to be up until March. It's been up for 10 months. It's a pretty extensive installation with a huge wall mural. So if you're in the Buffalo area or Niagara Falls, it's about 5 minutes from Niagara Falls. So if you are in that area, yeah, I'd recommend checking it out. And there's also five other galleries. So if you don't like my work, there's other work you look at too.
Who could not like your work, Alberto? Come on, be real. It's very, very good stuff. Very fascinating. Okay, well, listen, thanks again, as always, Alberto. Really appreciate it. Your wisdom is always something that I think excites me and also can get the audience really ready to take this film and watch it at another level. So we'll be talking to you again, I'm sure, when we get another one. Thanks, as always, and good luck. Enjoy the rest of the fall.
Thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure.